Well, it's episode 2. It's back to back. Season 6 is out, and this month we're dropping 2 episodes immediately, so you could sort of binge your content, listening and learning, and continue to grow. I love that about new seasons, how they have multiple episodes available all right now. Now, we're going to drop these episodes every other week, but for this season opener, season 6, I wanted to give you, some content. So I'm going to have 2 leadership lessons in this episode, as we're going to talk about wisdom being passed on. Hello, my name is Pastor Daniel Williams. I serve in this ministry, EE Leaders, to encourage and equip church leaders. And this is the Leadership Lessons Podcast, a way for me to be able to pour systematically into other leaders in a great way. I do that in multiple ways, through my Patreon community, through coaching one-on-one, and even through cohorts and being able to train church planners, missionaries, and leaders. And one of the cohorts that I'm a part of and lead is for the Calvary Global Network. We meet once a month. We watch one type of these videos and process together as pastors and communicate and talk. And so one of the videos that I shared with this cohort in a season of coaching them that you can last, you can continue to grow, and you could be faithful to what God's called you to do and bear much fruit in your life, longevity in ministry, was a video that I'm going to share with you today. I asked my dad to share, to give us some just wisdom and some nuggets of how do you last in ministry. Give us some advice, give us some wisdom. I wanted them not only to learn principles right now that they could apply, but at the end of this cohort and this quarter of videos, I wanted them to see a living example. My dad has pastored Calvary Chapel of Tacoma for already over 40 years. I think it was 41 years, and he just recently passed the church over. God called him back to his hometown, Mississippi, right outside of Memphis, Tennessee, to be able to retire and to serve the Lord there. And so I was recently with him over Thanksgiving. I was able to capture this content, and I'm just simply calling this leadership lesson, nuggets of wisdom, nuggets of wisdom. Because I just said, hey, share wisdom with us. You have 40 years of experience. What do we need to know as young leaders to be able to last, to grow? What are some things you want to pass on? And I love being able to do this. I love being able to get people in a room to help my leadership, to learn from them, but also to help your leadership. And so to have guided conversations or leadership lessons or one piece of advice, and to be able to compile it and put it all together. And so not only do I have my dad in this episode, since this is a back-to-back episode, I didn't even change my shirt. I'm in the same spot that I was in episode 1 with the same fresh haircut and microphone setup for you, because I was so excited to start giving you all this content. Y'all, I have over 15 leadership lessons. I have so many interviews already piled up. One piece of advice from leaders we've already learned from, and new fresh leaders. I'm excited to share this content, and I'm going to be doing this every other week, giving you a new episode. But I just wanted to just give you more than you expected and give you 2 leadership lessons. And so I'm not only going to give you a leadership lesson from my dad in this episode, who has 40 years of pastoral ministry experience, but a guy named Tom from 4 Kids, who served in multiple ways, multiple areas in that ministry. And he's literally just going to talk some wisdom and just share some things that he applied in his leadership for the last 40 years. As you know, 4 Kids Ministry, it's an amazing ministry here in South Florida that deals with adoption, dealing with foster care, and is making incredible impact and movement. And Tom is one of those leaders that has been around through Church United, that I've connected with over the years, and does church engagement for that ministry. And so I said, hey, if you want to help me spread the word, not only about 4 Kids, but about building leaders in our area, South Florida and beyond, Tom, could you just sit down and share wisdom with us? And that's what he did. I love it. I love being able to have 2 old school cats, both with 40 years of experience, be on the podcast with us and share this stuff. This is an incredible opportunity, not only for you, and I was pumped for myself, and he did such a good job. I interviewed Tom. He did a one piece of advice. I'm going to get that stuff out to you later on in this season, but this episode I just wanted to start off with giving you two leadership lessons, back-to-back episodes and back-to-back leadership lessons by two godly, amazing leaders that have been put in my life, my dad and Tom. My dad's name is Joe Williams. I don't know if I've even mentioned that. Sometimes he's done so much on this Leadership Lessons podcast that I forget to introduce some of these amazing leaders in my life. And I forget to even sometimes introduce myself. And so, man, I'm so glad you're with us. It's going to be a joy and a privilege to give you that content. I'm going to play those two episodes, leadership episodes, back to back. And then I'm going to finish strong, coming at the very end of this episode and letting you know what's going to happen in episode three. And so enjoy these leadership lessons. Consider it an honor and a privilege to be able to sit in the room and hear from these amazing, mature, seasoned veterans. And I know you're going to be blessed with it.
Well, hey guys, how you guys doing? I hope you guys are doing well. I pray that God is blessing your ministry. My name is Pastor Joe Williams. I'm Daniel's father. I've been the pastor of Calvary Chapel Tacoma for 41 years. Daniel asked me to speak this morning on longevity in ministry. I think about that sometime, longevity in ministry. When I first went into the ministry in 1982, I never really expected to be pastoring the church for 41 years. I never really set out to do that, but God had different plans. So I was faithful to what he called me to do. The place I think where God called me to be was Tacoma, Washington. I was there for 41 years. I came out of Raul Reese's church in Southern California. I was in his church for 6 years. I started out working there in the children's ministry. I worked with Lord Pulley for street witnessing for many years. And then God called me to Tacoma, Washington in 1982. I never came to start the church. I came to help somebody else start the church. And he was there for 5 years and he stepped down. I took his place in 1985. I became a senior pastor of Calvary Chapel, Tacoma. But as I reflect back on these years, these 41 years, what really kept me hanging in there, so to speak, and keep serving Christ I know you guys already know this, but I just relied completely upon the Holy Spirit, especially when things don't go the way you think they should. I don't know how many years you guys been in ministry, but you've been in ministry long enough to know that things don't always go the way you think they should go. I've been in ministry 41 years, and many times things didn't go the way I thought they would, but that's okay. I found out that I have to be very flexible to the Holy Spirit and not compare myself to any other ministry. No two ministries are the same. God is not concerned about numbers. He's concerned about faithfulness. It doesn't matter if you got 20 people or 30 or 40 or whatever you might have, how many people you might have, but God wants you to be faithful to what he's called you to do. I think what kept me over the years is, you know, the Bible said we should fix our eyes on Jesus, who's the author and the finisher of our faith. And that means in the bad times and in the good times, you know, and realize that you are not alone in this thing. You're not alone in this ministry. God is with you in the good times and in the bad. And I've learned over the years that I have to constantly remind myself that this is his people, his church, and I'm just an overseer. I am to share, to teach, to nurture, to fellowship, and to continually point them to Christ. I've found out over the years that you really can't change people. That's not my job to change people. That's the Holy Spirit's job to change people. We are called to teach the word of God and be faithful doing that. What has really kept me encouraged over the years, and I've had discouragements too. I mean, I haven't done everything right. I've made mistakes just like everybody else. I've been frustrated. I've been discouraged. I've been depressed. I've been felt like giving up sometimes, but the Holy Spirit just kept me on course. even when I didn't feel like it. The Bible said we are walking by faith and not by feelings. So you really can't trust your feelings, because your feelings can be really deceiving. What's really kept me over the years is just knowing, I think, why I hung in here for so many years, just to knowing I was in God's will and knowing where I was supposed to be. I was supposed to be in Tacoma. No one really wanted to go to Tacoma. It was very violent. A lot of drugs there and alcohol and a lot of homelessness. It's not the greatest area in the world, but I found out that that's where God wanted me to be. And you can find comfort in that. And I hope this helps somebody today. If you're really where God wants you to be, you can rest. You can rest in that. You know, if you're in God's will, you can rest in that, knowing that you're in the right place and that God put you there. I've learned over the years, too, is, you know, my faith in Christ. You know, the Bible said we walk by faith and not by sight. We don't walk by feelings. The Bible said the just shall live by faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. Because we know he that comes to God must believe that he is, and he will reward it to those that diligently seek him. God is not going to be in your debt. God is going to bless you for your faithfulness. God never called me to be successful. God called me to be faithful. So we walk in by faith, not by feelings. We got faith in God's word. We preach the word. Be instant, like Paul told Timothy, be instant in season and out. You know, Paul, 2 Timothy, Paul could have said anything else, but he told Timothy, the time will come when people don't want to hear sound doctrine. They're going to run to teachers just to hear what they want to hear. And we see that today. But he told Timothy, but you continue in the things of Christ. God is not going to ask us what somebody else did. You know, the Bible said we all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account. 2 Corinthians 5:10. To give an account what we have done in this body. So don't compare yourself to anybody else. Don't compare yourself to other churches. You're not going to find two churches the same. You're not going to find two pastors the same. But you can learn from each other. We all, as pastors, I've learned too, is to be teachable. Be teachable. I've been in ministry 41 years and I'm still learning. You would think that I would have it, you know, together by now, and I would know, you know, I'm more dependent now on the Holy Spirit than I ever been right now. Ministry is harder now than it's ever been. It never gets easier, but it's very rewarding. Will you make mistakes? Of course you will. But God's grace will cover that. When you make mistakes, you take them to the Lord, and God, you know, like Paul said, forget those things behind. You know, Paul made mistakes, terrible person. But when God changed him, he said, I forget those things behind. You cannot live in the past. We make mistakes. We don't do everything right. God is not looking for perfect people, because he don't have any perfect people. So we all he's got. He's got to work with what he's got. And that's us. We are imperfect people. But yet God has chosen us by his grace and by his mercy to oversee his people. Learn from your mistakes and move on. And don't worry about things that you cannot change. You can't change people. That's the Holy Spirit's job. It's not your job to change people. Your job is to teach the word of God, do the best you can, and let the results lie with him. I think many times, I know in my life over the years, I've carried things, I've carried burdens that God never intended me to carry. So the Bible said we should cast all of our cares upon him, because he cares for us. God knows you can't do this alone. Jesus said it is to your advantage that I go away. And if I go away, the Comforter, he will come. He will teach you and guide you into all truth. So I've learned to be totally dependent upon the Holy Spirit, fix my eyes on Jesus, and knowing that without the help of the Holy Spirit, the Paracletus, I cannot do anything alone. I cannot build this church. Not by my might, by power, but by his what? Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. So I'm dependent upon the Holy Spirit. Learn from your mistakes. And don't worry about things you can't change. We must have the right priorities too in ministry. I learned too over the years, it's many times to serve and be busy, and your priorities can get out of order. First priority, the Lord Jesus Christ. He don't want to be second in your life. He wants to be first. Either he's Lord of all or he's not Lord at all. So he wants to be first in your life. That's the you got to keep him first. He's not going to be second. He's not going to be third. He wants to be first in your life. Number two is your family. Don't neglect your family for ministry. Don't neglect your family for ministry. I know pastors in Washington State, their kids are very bitter because they were ignored. The pastor was serving everybody else, but not his family. So make sure you take care of your family. So the Lord Jesus Christ first, your wife and children, and then the ministry. The ministry, it comes last. You'll find too, guys, that God will send people to your fellowship to help you. He will send people to help you. God knows all about your ministry, all about your church, and he knows that you cannot do it alone. So you got to have an eye open and a listening ear for people who can come along beside you and help you. And he will send those people to help. You know, people have different gifts. We don't have all the gifts. Other people have gifts too. And you want to keep an eye open for those people who has a servant's heart and who's willing to serve your church. Faith, trust in God's word, depending upon the Holy Spirit, and just learning from your mistakes and moving on. Keep your priorities straight. And the last thing I want to say is, you know, take breaks when you feel like you're getting tired. You might be getting stressed out. You might be doing too much. You know, you can be distracted and still be in ministry. You still be serving Christ and still be distracted. Did you know that? You can be real busy doing good things for Christ and still be distracted. So guard your relationship with him. Prayer. Prayer is powerful. Ask God for help. God knows that we can't do this. But in our weakness, he is strong. He is very strong. And he's shown that to me over the years. He's worked in ways that I have never seen. I grew up in Memphis, Tennessee, and I've been going away for 41 years now. And the last couple of months, God been laying on my heart to leave Washington State and come back to Memphis. I never knew God was going to do that. Memphis was the last place that I thought I would want to come back to. But here I am. Bought a house down here in South Haven, Mississippi, and I know God is going to direct me into the ministry where he wants me to minister, what church he wants me to go to, because I'm not the type of person to sit. I want to serve. If not in a pastoral capacity, anything that will glorify him. I don't care if it's picking up paper out of the parking lot. I don't care if it's cleaning toilets. I don't care what it is. As long as I can bring glory to him, I don't have to be out front. There's many ways that you can minister to the body of Christ. And we all have gifts and talents that God has given us. So use those gifts and talents and encourage. Every time I get discouraged, God always sends people to encourage me. Every time I'm thinking about, hey, you know what? This is not for me, man. I should just hang it up. God sends people to encourage me every single time. So I said, well, I'll hang in there for another week, you know, and before I know it, it's been 41 years, but I don't have a certain pattern. I was just trying to be faithful, take good advice, receive from people, be teachable, be flexible. God is going to work in ways in these last days that we have never seen before. It's not like we can pattern the Holy Spirit. I wish we could, but we can't. We cannot pattern the Holy Spirit. Every time I try to pattern the Holy Spirit, he does something different. So I got to follow his lead. He's not following my lead. I'm going to follow his lead. I don't have a certain... Now, this is coming from my heart, how God has worked in my life, in my ministry. And he might work in your ministry, in your life different. But in my life, I don't think there will ever come a day when I don't have to depend upon the Holy Spirit. Never a day. Because Jesus said, you know, apart from me, you can do nothing. So we have to rely upon that. And because in our weakness, he's strong and he's faithful. Even when I'm faithless, he is still faithful because he cannot deny himself. So that's my advice to you guys today. If you guys are, and get around other pastors too. I think many times pastors are too separated. Get around other pastors too that you can pray with, that can encourage you. Don't try to do this thing all by yourself, because we all are going through some of the same things, really. I don't have this down. I'm still trusting Christ. But get around some pastors that you can pour out your heart to, and that you can just pray with and encourage each other. It's a great calling. God is going to use you and your abilities and your gifts and your talents that you have in ways that you would never believe. I say again that I never thought that I would be in ministry 41 years. I never thought that. I mean, it was not my plan. God just gave me a glimpse, and I just stepped out in faith, and here I am 41 years later. Well, don't give up. Don't quit. When you get discouraged, when you think you want to quit, you go to Christ and ask the Lord. Say, Lord, you know what I'm going through. Help me. I think one of the best prayers I've ever prayed in my entire life was help. Help me. And he's there. You'll find out. Whether you feel him or whether you don't, he is there. He has promised us never to leave us nor forsake us. So my brothers, don't quit. Teach the word of God. Be faithful. God knows that you need him, and God knows that you need his help. Don't try to do this all by yourself. It can be a burden. It can be a burden to you. So give it to the Lord. It's his people. It's his ministry. And you'll see his hand like you've never seen it before. So keep on keeping on. And God bless you guys. It was great to spend a few minutes with you today. And I hope that some things I've said today has been helpful to someone. God bless you guys.
Hi, I'm Tom Lukasik. I'm with the 4Kids Ministry. I've been with the ministry for 23 plus years, started as a volunteer, and now my title is Vice President of Community Engagement. And I've had a lot of different roles, church engagement, many different things. I was served as a time as the executive director, and I am just blessed that God has called me to what I believe is my calling. I've been doing this with that ministry for 23 plus years, but I've also been in this field helping children and families for nearly 30 years now. So I just really believe this is what God's called me to do. But I've also been in leadership for over 40 years in different roles over time, and he's given me some basic truths that I think are important that I try to live my life by, and I'm going to share some of those with you. Some of them are old school, some of them are some new things I've learned, so I'll go back and forth on those as we speak. But I'm going to start with something I think is really, really important that I've heard many times over the years, that we should always be learning. We are always learners, and that means we're studying God's Word, we're studying how to do what improve on our skills, how to do what we do better, and how to continue to grow in that way, in that area that God has called us. And one of the things I learned recently was from a local pastor here in South Florida, Bill Mitchell. He does a training monthly called City Lead. It goes all over the world now, but in City Lead Boca, he spoke about always being a learner. And it's what I just said, we're always learning. But one of the things he said to me that I really caught was, it's not just book learning, it's not just classroom learning, it's life learning. It's looking around, it's waiting, it's seeing what is God teaching you in almost every moment of every day. And one of the three things he said around that is, you can't always pick the classroom. So the classroom might be in your car on the highway. It might be in a dinner opportunity and you're learning something from the server. Who knows? But the classroom could be anywhere. And you can't always pick the professor. The professor could be somebody you just met on the corner. Could be a person on the corner who needs help, and you talk to them for a while, and you could learn from them. We should always be looking for, what is God teaching me in this point in time? What's the opportunity I should walk away with this chance meeting, which there are no chance meetings. I think we all know that. God is ordaining those meetings. And the last area is you can't always pick the subject. The subject could be something that I never thought I really needed to learn about, but I might learn something from my six-year-old grandson that, oh my gosh, how have I missed that? And that just happened recently, so that's why I use that example, that he can teach me things that, whether he's learning it in school or just in life, and we should always be learning. And of course, that going back to God's word is where it all starts. And we want to be in his word. We want to abide in his word all the time. So I'm going to jump over to John 10 and read a little bit out of John 10 and go from there. I'm going to read John 10, verse 1 through 10. And starts with, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of a stranger. Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them." That's kind of normal. We know that. Verse 7. "Then Jesus said to them again, most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and will go in and go out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and they may have it more abundantly." We all know that verse, John 10:10. But what God is telling us here, what Jesus is teaching us here, and the part is you heard me emphasize, they will know his voice. We know that from experiences. We know people that we hear from, that we know their voice. We know that when my wife calls in a crowded room, I know it's her. When my grandson calls in a crowded room, I know it's him. When I hear that cute little voice go, "Papa," I am just turning and I am focused on him. And when Jesus calls us, we know it's him. So we need to be aware of that voice and listening for that voice and following just his voice. And as we lead others, we need to be leading in that same way, making sure that they know that what we're leading them in is what is God's truth, is what God has spoken to us, and where we are taking them is something that's important to him and his word and what he's called us to do. So we have to be leaders of integrity. That's where I wanted to go with this area of scripture, that we need to lead the same way Jesus led, same way Jesus leads, with integrity. I told you I'd have some old school things. I've got an old school quote from Zig Ziglar. Unless you're around my age, you probably don't even know who Zig Ziglar was, but he was a Christian motivational speaker that I heard from first around the 1980s. And I learned a lot from him as a motivational teacher and a follower of Christ. So there was always good information on how to lead others, but also how to be making sure you're leading well and leading with integrity. So here's the quote from Ziglar. "With integrity, you have nothing to fear, since you have nothing to hide. With integrity, you will do the right thing, so you will have no guilt." Simple truth. Lead with integrity. Be a person of integrity. That's not an easy thing to do in this broken world we live in, because we know what we just read. The thief is out there trying to kill, trying to steal, trying to destroy, and trying to do anything he can to just throw us off our course. But we need to be people of integrity and follow what God has called us to do, and then lead others in that same way. Vitally important. Where we work at Four Kids, we have core values. Almost everyone has core values. I think, I've been here a long time, so I've worked in other places, but I think our ministry follows our core values so well. They're on the wall, of course, but we teach them, we give examples, and we role model how to live with all of the core values. They're sacrifice, perseverance, integrity, compassion, and excellence. And integrity is right at the center, which I love, because it's the core of everything we are. We call ourselves authentically Christian in our ministry because we are. And we can't say that unless we have integrity. And we teach that across the board. With over 130 employees, we hire with that same way. We have a very difficult hiring process because we want to make sure the right people are doing what they are called to do and lead that same way. So everybody at 4Kids is a leader. Whether you're the president or you're in maintenance or anywhere in between, you're leading. And prayerfully, we are all leading with integrity. So I got another old school message, something I've done most of my life. And it's one of the first books I read back in 1982 on leadership. It was a book by the name of In Search of Excellence was the title, by Tom Peters. Again, back in 1982, I think that's when it was published. I got it. When I got it, it was fresh, it was new, but I still rely on one area of that book that I've followed my whole life, and I think it's so important. And it was a chapter that was called Management by Walking Around. Simple, right? Management by walking around. What does that mean? Well, when you're walking around and you're not kind of isolated in your office as a leader, you are working with your team. You're building relationships. You're leading by example, that this is much more than just sitting in a ivory tower or some area where you lead from. You are letting the team know that you're real. You're being open with them. You're being as transparent as you can as a leader with some of the things you're going through, because that might be what they're going through at that time. And as you lead by walking around, you're building that relationship. So the new school area that we just learned recently at 4Kids and in this community where we serve children and families who've come from trauma is something called trust-based relational intervention. It's a modality for therapy that starts with a trust-based relationship. You can't intervene with anything without a trust-based relationship. You can't do anything without a trust-based relationship. So that was something that was found and researched by Texas Christian University by an amazing lady, Dr. Karen Purvis. She has since gone home to be with the Lord, but she did so much study on what trauma does to the brain and how do you help children who've experienced that trauma learn from it and heal from it. And it all starts with a trust-based relationship. And that, in that, that's kind of what I've tried to do in my whole life, is understand that I can't lead anybody. I can't build a relationship. I can't do anything without that trust-based relationship. And where does that start from? With the relationship we have with Christ. Everything we do as human beings, as followers of Christ, is because we have a relationship with Christ. It's not about religion. It's not about following religious dogma or doctrine. It's about having that relationship with Jesus and being and abiding with Him. I've said this a lot in my life too. I try to plow through life where I pray, I abide in Christ, I listen to what He's saying, I obey willingly what He's called me to do. And you can't do that if you don't have a relationship with Christ. If you can't hear that still small voice from Him, you can't do that. But that's the same way we teach and we lead others too, whether it's our family members, the people on our team, even the people above us and below us. And that's what I mentioned earlier, that everyone on our team is a leader. And whoever's listening right now, I pray you understand that. Wherever you are on a team, you are a leader. You're leading somebody. And sometimes you are leading up. You're teaching and you're helping and you're teaching those above you how to grow in something. And it might be because you're an older person like myself, so you've got great experience, you've got experience, you've learned from your own mistakes, and you can teach others not to make that same mistake, but you do it with love. And you can't lead up, especially if you don't have a relationship. So make sure that you understand that so much of what we're trying to do as followers of Christ, as leaders, is based on that relationship. I want to tell you another story. I saw this many years ago, and I just saw it recently again. And it's a quick segment I saw online from Simon Sinek about Navy SEALs. And he was talking about the type of people that become Navy SEALs and the type of people that don't make it who try to become Navy SEALs. And he started by saying the people that don't make it, and he listed off a bunch of different types of people. He said the sports star, the guy who's an all-star athlete their whole life, they've always been kind of that golden boy or just leading because of their gifts and talents, and they were able to be the quarterback or the center or the guard in basketball, whatever it might be. They don't make it as a Navy SEAL because they've been the shining star all their life. and they're just not cut out for what Navy SEALs have you have to do there. Sometimes it's the guy, the muscle-bound guy with the tattoos that they think they're stronger and they're bigger and they're able to do great things. They don't make it as Navy SEALs. The kind of, I guess you'd say, cocky person that thinks they're all that, they don't make it as Navy SEALs. The people that do make it, the people that get through, sometimes they start as skinny, scrawny guys. But one thing those people that have in common that make it as Navy SEALs, they know how to serve. They know how to serve their partners, they serve their friends, serve their teammates, and they have each other's back. That's what Navy SEALs know they have to do. And who is the greatest servant leader we know? Jesus. Jesus led by example. He's the one that guided us of how we should lead. He showed us what it looks like to heal, to live without a place to lay his head. But gave us so many examples by his servant leadership. And that's the kind of people that we want to be, the places that we want to go in our life as leaders, is knowing how to be servants and help each other as we go forward. So as we lead, as we understand that you need to be a servant to lead, you need to know how to hear from others, to know how to be humble, to know how to... again, be transparent and be open of struggles you're going through. We got to be able to feel comfortable sharing that with others. And sometimes as a leader, we don't want to do that. We don't want to show our inabilities, our foolishness of who we are. But and my wife doesn't like me using this as one of my life verses, but I will share it with all of you now. 1 Corinthians 1:27 says that God uses the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. I'm one of those guys. I'm a foolish thing that I don't know how God called me to do the work that he's called me to do, but God has used me to do incredible work in this community in South Florida, across the state in some ways, and even in other parts of the country to help others learn and grow and know what it looks like to lead, and to lead in this field that I'm in the child welfare, child well-being world, helping the orphan in their time of distress, helping the widow in their time of distress. That's one of the things God says in James is pure and undefiled religion. We want to do that. If that's what God says it is, we want to do that. We want to be there for the quartet of the vulnerable. So God has used me, and I didn't have that background, but he told me that's what he called me to do, and I obeyed willingly in that call. And I want to read a little area from Isaiah 58 that I think is important as we lead, what it looks like to do that. And in Isaiah 58, the Lord's, or Isaiah is talking about what it looks like to fast and what how we should fast and sometimes how we shouldn't fast. But I'm going to start in verse 6. And Isaiah 58, verse 6 says, "Is this not the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bounds of the wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, and that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out? When you see the naked, that you cover him, and not hide yourself from your own flesh, then your light shall break forth like the morning." So when you do these things, there is a blessing attached to that. You take care of the poor, you take care of the people that are homeless, you bring them in your house, or you give them what their needs are. Verse 8 says, "Then your light shall break forth like the morning. Your healing shall spring forth speedily, and your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and he will say, 'Here I am.'" I've experienced everything I just read there. I've had illness in my life. I'm a cancer survivor. I have seen God bless my life. And it's not because I work to earn that blessing. I work because that's what God's called me to do. I know that I am saved. I know who he is in my life. But because of that love that he has for me, I want to serve him in every way possible. And I've done that in my life. My wife and I have done that. We've served kids in foster care and so many others. And he has done this, and he has healed me, and he has called me out. He's been my rear guard. Let me continue in verse 9. It says, "If you take away the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger and speaking wickedness, if you extend your soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then your light shall dawn in the darkness, and your darkness shall be as the noonday." I'm going to jump to verse 12 because this is what I believe that we are called to do as the body of Christ. We are called to live in unity. We are called to take care of the Quartet of the Vulnerable, the orphan, the widow, the alien, the poor. And verse 12 says, those from among you shall build the old waste places. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations, and you shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of the streets to dwell in. If we are called to this, if we are doers of the word, these are some of the things that we have been called to do. To not just show up on Sunday morning and be Sunday morning Christians or Sunday go to meeting folks, but to be doers of the word, to be the repairers of the breach, the restorer of streets to dwell in. We live in a broken world, but we have the answer. We know our Redeemer lives. We know what God has done in our own lives, and we want to share that with others. And we don't want to do it just by preaching and evangelizing. That is extremely important. Yes, we want to have people live in eternity with Christ forever, but we also want to help their needs right now. And sometimes that's how we get them to see who Jesus is, when we are Jesus with skin on to them, when we provide their needs and help them in whatever way that is. And God has called us to do that over and over in His Word. So it's one of the ways that we lead others, because we're leading not just the people that work for us and work with us, but we're leading the people that are out there in our community. We're bringing them to know who Christ is by our actions. So I encourage you to make sure that you're a good leader in your role in your church, in your ministry, in your home, but also in your community, so that the world can see what Christians really look like. Not the media version of what Christians look like, or yelling at people and what they show, which is a very small percentage, but the larger percentage of people who are actually doing the work of God, who are called and doing that work. So you've heard a little bit from me. You've heard about my call. You've heard about what I have done. You've heard my old school techniques that I still use today that are true. And because they're old school, we know the book we follow is pretty old school. Our God is pretty old school. The creator of heaven and earth is, that's quite a while ago. And our Savior was over 2,000 years ago, who walked the earth that we follow every day. And he was the most incredible servant leader that we could ever follow. So that's what I encourage you to do. Dig into his word, hear from him, follow that acrostic P-A-L-O-W, plow through life. Yeah, I spelled plow wrong. But I put that A in there after pray, because we need to be abiding in his will, in his spirit. We need to abide in Christ. And then we need to listen, and we need to obey willingly what he's called us to do. And I encourage you to do that. And you never know what God's going to do in your life. I've been blessed beyond measure with what he has done in my life, what he has done through my life, the children and the families that have been made whole again, that I've been a part of that I've been an instrument of God to help children and families from despair to hope. I've done that in leadership with staff members who are exceeding me, who we brought in and we hired and we taught and we trained, and now they're taking roles above me. Hallelujah, I love that. Because that's what we should be doing our best to raise up the body, raise up others, and doing our best to lead like Jesus. So I encourage you to do that, and pray that you will, and trust that your followers, you're staying in his will and in his way in all that you do. So I pray that in Jesus' name, amen.
Well, I hope that you were blessed by that content. I know I was, and not only that content, but those leaders. Man, it is so great to not only have a father, but a spiritual father that plays that role in my life. He serves on our church board. I'm able to talk to him regularly. And one thing I did with him and my mom on my Patreon page, it's a monthly subscription where I give more content out, specifically able to coach people, give out book quotes, recommended books, PSD files, Photoshop files, things that I'm doing to pass stuff on to you to try to help your leadership grow is I do a lot of interviews. And one of the interviews that I did was talking to my dad and my mom. When I was filming my dad for that leadership lesson, I filmed both my mom and my dad about prayer. Every year we do a season of 21 days of prayer and fasting. Dan Grittner, who shared on episode 1, is a part of a local church that takes time to fast and pray together. We're doing this ministry ministry stuff together. Same thing with Casey from the Avenue Church and Allison Hicks on episode one. We do this stuff together, and part of growing in prayer is every month, every year, I do a month-long series on prayer. I usually read a book on prayer, which I did this year and gave quotes and a recommended book on prayer on the Patreon page. And I did a three-part interview with my mom and dad on important lessons they learned from prayer. Just want to give you more content for you to enjoy. And so as soon as you join the Patreon page, a monthly subscription for as low as $9.99 a month, you actually get access to all the interviews, all the content, all the book recommendations, the quotes, the PSD files, all that stuff's available. And you could even sign up to do one-on-one coaching, ask me personal questions, and be able to really help you in a personal way. I know that I can't do everything for everyone, but I could do something for someone. And so I'm honored and blessed for those that you are supporting this ministry through that community, for my Patreon community. Man, thank you so much. I want to be able to build that, grow that, and continue to pour into you in that way. And as I'm accumulating these things, they all have access. As soon as you join, you can actually highlight, go to those views, videos, go to that content, and get more stuff. You know, just in case binge watching two episodes wasn't enough for you. Well, we're going to be back at it in episode three in 2 weeks. We're dropping these episodes every other week. We have new content and snippets of these interviews on our YouTube channel. You can subscribe if you're watching right now on YouTube. If you didn't know, we actually break down these episodes into small little videos where you can pass on, you can share, you could even watch with your church staff or people you're discipling and making leaders of. And so there's extra bonus content on YouTube and on the Patreon page. And you can always reach out to me to even just ask questions at daniel@eeleaders.com. I'm excited to be on this journey with you, to encourage and equip you as a church leader. It's my privilege and honor, and I'm so blessed to be able to do this. Episode three, it's going to be good. I'm going to actually do the leadership lesson called Be Yourself. We're going to focus on how God has wired us as leaders, not only internally, but externally, and talk about that, the importance of not comparing with one another, of being yourself. I got another couple of great guest as well, Jeremy, church planner, Barahoma. He's going to be doing a little interview talking about lessons learned and how community has shaped him. We also have Trey Bannon from Christian Expeditions. He recently came and to the house and did an interview and did a leadership lesson and a one piece of advice video. And he's going to give his one piece of advice video on that. And so it's going to be real good. We have a lot of in store for you. Season six, baby. We're back at it again. We're serving you in this way. The ministry is EE Leaders, encouraging and equipping church leaders. You can follow us on social, EE Leaders. It's super easy to find. It's super encouraging for you to pass things on, to leave reviews. I thank you all for that. The community is growing, and that is a good thing, not just for my influence, but for your influence and for God's kingdom to expand. And so if this is helpful content for you, would you please leave a review? Would you please share it with other people? Would you even drop a note and let me know in the DMs through social, or even writing me an email, just letting you know that you're watching, that you're encouraged by this stuff, and give me some ideas. I have a lot of leadership lessons, one piece of advice, interviews for this season, all in 4K for you to be able to continue to encourage and equip you in your leadership, because there's nothing better than doing what God's called you to do. So keep on doing that. You don't labor in vain. God is going to diligently reward you for all the work that you've put in and are putting in. Always be a learner, always growing. Thank you so much for letting me be a part of this journey and just having a simple sit down conversation with you. I feel always honored and blessed to be able to host this podcast. I'm growing, and by God's grace and through humility, we're going to do this thing together. And so God bless you guys. We'll see you in the next episode. Episode three, talking about being yourself.